Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can like us on Facebook and find us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week via telephone is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
Great, glad to hear it. So let's talk about what was week one of the NFL. It started off with Panthers Broncos, and it which was a pretty close game. Trevor Siemian, as I found out his name is pronounced, did pretty good. Newton wasn't terrible either. He was much better than he was in the playoffs, but against the Super Bowl, I should say. And it ended in a missed field goal, which was a common theme this week one, actually.
Yes, absolutely. Even missed extra point.
Yes, mixed extra point, missed field goals, short missed field goals, far missed field goals, last second field goals, middle of the game field goals. A lot were missed.
And speaking of the kicking game, I noticed that New England's the team that's kicking it high, but not into the end zone. And they had a few forced fair catches inside the 15.
Yeah, which kind of helped, especially in the close games. It caused them to take it less, short even of the 20 in some of those closer games. They couldn't just say, "All right, start at the 25 and give it your best shot." And they really wanted to pin them in.
I mean, it's amazing to me when I see guys even attempt to run it out because it's hard to get back to the 20.
It's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're out at the 25 and you fumble or something, it's not as as horrible as backed up.
No, that's very true. So that was the big one that started the week. You also had, the Jets Bengals, which Phil Simms kept talking about. It felt like a playoff atmosphere there, and it was a close game. Two really good defenses. But what that came down to, again, was a missed field goal.
So it came down to not what was, but what wasn't.
Yes, which was a missed 22-yard field goal. It was a gimme. Folk shanked it, and then he missed an extra point, and the Jets ended
That's
up losing.
4 points, yeah.
And they ended up losing by, what, 2-3 points, if I remember?
Well, the good news about that is I like the Jets this week.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, that was as a Jet fan, it was troubling to watch, especially when Mike Nugent on the other side of the field, who missed two crucial field goals in the 2009 playoffs, 2007, 2008 playoffs. It was in Pittsburgh, and he missed two field goals, one in regulation that would have won it, and then one in overtime.
Well, it's like, what's harder to be, a Jet fan or an Eagles fan? Because it's Jet-esque to find ways to lose these games.
Yeah, well, there's the, there's this saying, same old Jets, and you saw that. Fitzpatrick looked fine. Matt Forte, so far has some gas still left in the tank. I don't know where we're going to be in December, but...
Defense looked real good.
Defense looked amazing. 7 sacks on Andy Dalton, the first time that many ever on him.
Yeah.
Which was very strong. But, hey, Revis, it looks like he may have lost the step. It's no longer Revis Island. It's Revis Nation. I don't know. Something.
Well, not even.
Continent.
It might be a territory now.
It definitely went down. Really exciting game in Kansas City. The Chiefs were down 24-3 to the Chargers, which scored three touchdowns in the first half against what was supposed to be a pretty good Kansas City defense. But then all of a sudden, after halftime, Alex Smith came out. Spencer Ware had everybody's asking Jamal who. And they came back, tied it at the end, and won it in overtime on an Alex Smith bootleg.
Yeah, well, you know, they're kind of like, they're like New Orleans, San Diego, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They're teams that just can't stop anybody. I think the Colts are like that.
Oh, they absolutely were. I mean, you talk about the Saints and the Colts, both who lost end of the game, games that high scoring. I mean, in both cases, I think the Lions gave up, the Colts gave up 39 points and the Saints gave up 35 points.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, there's a bit of a, at least in week one, a bit of a defensive flat line, it looks like, happening around.
Well, you know, it's also a trend in the past that if you don't sign your top pick, you know, before the, and they signed him very late, right?
Joey Bosa, then, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, I would have wanted to see him go back into the draft, see what happened. Because you look at somebody like Clowney, he took that year off, and he hasn't been.
He took a couple years off. I haven't seen the guy play for real, but I didn't see that game. I heard he looked respectable.
Yeah, that, and everybody coming out of camp down in Houston were saying like now he's going 100. He's full of bore. But
okay.
Talking about the Saints Raiders and Saints flip flop. Drew Brees 431 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Just an amazing offensive game. But of course, the Saints defense can't stop anybody. And it came down to the end of the game. Raiders score a touchdown. They're down by 1 point. So instead of going for the tie, Jack Del Rio decides to play for the win on the road, goes for 2 and makes it.
That's great news. And, hey, the Raiders are back.
The Raiders are definitely back. I like them this year in that I think that they will do well. I don't like the team or the franchise personally, but, you know.
When you can start with a road victory, that's not too shabby.
No, that's big. I mean, winning on the road in the NFL is difficult. To do it week one, to do it in a track meet in New Orleans, that's very difficult. But yeah, you talk about the Lions Colts again, another 39-35 win by the Lions. Another big game was of course the national game, the Giants and the Cowboys. Giants. I heard this stat. This was the ninth time that the Giants and Cowboys had played in week one in both.
Yeah, I think it's 9 out of the last 11, something like that. Yeah.
Shared history. So 9 times, this was the 9th time the Cowboys and the Giants played each other in week one. The Cowboys had won the previous 8.
Yeah.
And so here come the Giants and they win. Dak Prescott looks good. I got to say, he does look good. But so does Eli.
The problem with that, with the Cowboys, are that putting 8 in the box shuts down Elliott, and of course they want to make the rookie throw.
Right. Now there was
teams with Wentz might pay a different price.
Yeah, definitely.
We can't see.
Well, we saw that because he tried. Well, Witten we figured would be a target, and Dak Prescott, just like Tony Romo, loves Jason Witten. And but he tried to get to the ball to Dez Bryant a bunch, and there was one play in particular. It was called off, a touchdown called off. That
right.
Movement. And here's the other thing that we saw in Week One was what was a catch. Yet again, the question is still up in the air. What was a catch? Did you think that was a catch by Dez Bryant?
At first I did, and then hearing the commentary, of course, weighed me because the league's listening to that too, right?
That's probably, they probably are.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I don't know. The rule used to be, you know, there's 5,000 rules. I mean, I wasn't able, I saw it was, the files was 88 pages or whatever. Of course, that includes uniform, field, you know, all that stuff. But it used to be that you had to perform an act common to the game.
Right.
So I don't know if that wording is still in there. So, I mean, he had movement towards the direction he was going as the ball was plucked. But they want secure catches.
Yeah, they don't want any question marks.
Right. So that's what's going on. So, you know, it's like in any sport, you find out what the referee's favor, what the umpire favors, whatever it is, and do that.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that, yeah, at first, I didn't think it was a catch at first, and then when I'm seeing it didn't sway me to think that it was a catch, but
But you know, I guess the point bothers me with all the lawyers the NFL has, and you know they have a host of them, just advertise Super Bowl on anything, and they'll come knocking on your door.
That's very true.
So they can't write down what a catch is? I mean, come on.
And how about the fact that a lot of the referees are lawyers during the week?
Well, we know who their client is on Sunday.
That's true.
So, you know, that's not going to swing.
No. And then the Sunday night game, Patriots at Arizona. No Gronk. Two-fifths of their starting offensive line out. A running back out, Deion Lewis, a couple of defensive guys, and they still pull off a victory thanks to a missed last second field goal by the Cardinals to win it 23-21. Jimmy G looks good. I mean, you know,
very good. It's the smelling salts.
It is, boy, man.
I didn't even know if that's legal. Woo! Like only in boxing, and that's when that's to let the refs know that you should throw the belt.
Yeah, I mean, right before the game, right before kickoff, you see Garoppolo. He's smelling salts. He's getting all fired up. Woo! All that stuff. And then I look,
but he does look off receivers. Head movement, defense follows that, a quarterback's got a lot of skills.
Yeah, look, he's sitting.
And they stopped the run.
Look, as much as I hate on the Patriots, he's sitting behind a historical quarterback. The system is there. Just look at, who is that? Not Matt Flynn. Oh, gosh, what was his name? Matt Cassel. Oh. Look at Matt Cassel that year. They went, 10-6, 11-5?
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs. But so, I mean, the system is also a part of it. He is good. There's not a lot of tape on him. So he did well. But here's the thing that really got me upset. I'm watching this Cardinals defense, and there were numerous plays. One in particular, it was a third down. Now, and I was talking to you about this. There's a lot of bunching of receivers going on.
Yeah. Sure.
They've got three wide receivers less than...
Yeah, triple stack, a bunch, or whatever they're calling it.
So I'm watching, it's third and five, third and three. I forget, it was sometime in the third quarter. Right. And the Cardinals are playing back. Like, they're playing deep. There's two in man coverage, and then there's a third in the slot. Nobody is covering, and of course it goes for 10 yards. And I just couldn't believe this. I mean, I know Bruce Arians isn't a defensive coach, but there shouldn't. Well, everybody should be on somebody and not 5-10 yards down the field.
I think there's no doubt about it. The NFL's soft.
It's soft, and then of course,
But you don't have two-a-day practices. Guys aren't tackling. I think tackling is the biggest thing you see year to year. Certainly early in most of the season. There was some shabby tackling over the weekend.
No, nobody wants to tackle. They just want to launch themselves like missiles, give themselves concussion, and then we have to hear about CTE for the next 30 years.
They want to hit padded dummies and collect the check, but there's more to the game than that.
There's a lot more, but yeah, so, I mean, the Cardinals lost that as much as the Patriots won that. That's that. And then the Monday night games, where to start? Do you want an offensive show or a ineptitude? The Redskins coming off their defense of the NFC East title, come out and stink up the joint. My goodness,
they played flag football. Talk about shabby tackling and giving up all kinds of cushion. The defensive backs say, it's just a nightmare. And Hall is a safety now? I mean...
Well,
I'm not feeling that for greatness.
Well, quite frankly, I trust him more now than I do Josh Norman. And this is something that a lot of people asked about because they saw this happening. As Antonio Brown scores, two touchdowns? He's one-on-one with the Redskins' second best defensive back. Torches him. Not only torches him, but in one-on-one coverage. Now, here's the thing. Josh Norman apparently only plays the left side of the field. And apparently this happens by a lot of defenses. Apparently the Seahawks employ this too. Richard Sherman only plays one side of the field. And the idea is get your best, your absolute best, to shut down one side of the field and will double up on whoever's on the other side. Yeah. So Josh Norman's playing the left side of the field, but then Antonio Brown is left in one-on-one coverage. Where's the second guy to help him out? Where's D'Angelo Hall? Why is he playing this middle of the field? And that is part of the reason why Ben Roethlisberger chewed up that defense.
Well, I think this is said in the past. A lot of coaches fail in the NFL because they don't know what they don't know.
Sure.
So in other words, they think they know.
Right.
When they don't.
Well, at this point, if you're a defensive head coach, you have a leg up in this offensive world because if you're an offensive coach, it just seems like, I'll give it to somebody else. We have to worry about the X's and O's. And then when you let Josh Norman play one side of the field and they're throwing Eli Rogers and, anybody else out there on that side, they're not going to throw over there. They're barely going to look over there. And then D'Angelo Williams, my gosh, just a fountain of youth over there.
Yeah, but Roethlisberger has made a lot of people look bad over a long period of time, and Brown is something special.
Brown is absolutely amazing.
So, you're looking at the best combo right there.
Sure. And
in the league.
Yeah, I agree. That's why he was the number one pick across fantasy football charts this season. What did you think about his twerking penalty?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't do that at Hooters. I mean, what's going on there? Yeah, it's
certainly got people interested because apparently in the laws or in the NFL rules, unsportsmanlike conduct, a sexually suggestive act.
Yeah.
Which
that's
yeah. But I mean, this is a guy who was on Dancing with the Stars, wasn't he? So I say give him a little leeway.
You gotta cut him a break.
I would. Why not? And then
is it entertainment?
It's entertaining, but not to the stuffy bosses of the National Football League. That's for sure.
That's why it's been dubbed the No Fun League.
The No Fun, not for long. And then, of course, the last game, which was totally inept, was Niners hosting the newly christened and formally christened Los Angeles Rams. And apparently, Jared Goff just must be an awful quarterback because he didn't even dress. He wasn't even second or third string. And yet Case Keenum goes out there, and it's been told to death, if you've heard it, the Rams' offense was punt, punt, interception, seven punts, another interception, up two more punts, and then a turnover on downs at the end of the game.
Well, I bought into that hype. That's why I feel horrible.
Right.
I mean, it's embarrassing, but Fisher never, he's not even 8-8, but 7-9, whatever, fifth year.
That's
not a winning season yet. He's the most overpaid, overhyped. That team looks great on paper, a zillion picks, and still look what you got.
I mean, look.
There's another team that didn't really look like they wanted to be there. I mean, that point of defensive line was a marshmallow.
That defense gave up in the second half. They started to fight because they were like, we're out here too much. I mean, my God, because that's a late game. First of all, I love that they do the week one doubleheader Monday night. Game starts at 7. It's done by 10 o'clock. Great. I wish that was every Monday. I'm sorry. I don't want to start at 8:30.
Well, I know, but obviously you don't live in California.
No. I'm keeping track of it on my phone, and I refresh it, and all of a sudden it's 3-and-out. Like, how are they kicking again? It was amazing. And Todd Gurley, I mean, everybody knows now that, Case Keenum can't throw the ball. They don't have really good wide receivers. Just stack the box and we'll stop Gurley because they don't even throw to Gurley.
But I'm saying that's what you do when the quarterback's not good, right? You make him throw. Look how the Redskins gave up on the run. I mean, that's a nightmare. They can't stop the run and they can't run. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
And they know,
and they just went to the shotgun, so there's no threat now at all for the run, right? And
right.
He wasn't even using his legs until very late.
Yes, and then of course he stares at Jordan Reed as long as possible.
Yeah, he looks lost. But can you imagine how the Rams will feel if Wentz turns out to be something? And it looks like he's excited to be in the league.
So far he is. Wentz did well. I mean, they beat, it wasn't hard to beat the Cleveland Browns, but still.
Right.
is down, and we have yet another quarterback injury, although it's not surprising. RG3, Robert Griffin III, out, shoulder injury.
Well, there's another two, Griffin and Luck, right? They came out together.
That's true.
Well, you know, one was real good, one was, you know, good for a year, and both injuries.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even Luck, you know, Luck was a question mark in the off season, and now he's back, and he did pretty good, so.
Oh, yeah, so they're always going to be compared, Mariana and Winston.
That's true. It's going to be that way. So let's take a look at week two of the NFL. It's coming up Thursday night football. Starts with the Jets at the Bills.
Liking the Jets off that loss.
That's good. Other big...
I think his days are numbered.
Who's that? Bill Rex?
Yeah, Rex Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't stop a half. I mean, they were missing guys on defense, Buffalo was. But, I mean, this is a bad Ravens team, and they still let them through. So you like that. Now, road teams on these Thursday night games, Thanksgiving Day aside, these road teams don't do well on Thursday night football. So it as a Jet fan, it has me worried that we're going to start off 0-2, and it's a very, I mean, they have to play the Steelers, the Seahawks on the road. So I'm a little nervous.
I'd like to Todd Bowles. Wouldn't entertain any questions unless they involve Buffalo.
Well, you know what?
He's written a walkout.
Right.
The press conference. So you know, I think their mind is to business. They got the talent, and you know, Rex is, you know, he's an offensive midget.
Yeah. I mean, he just wants to run it, but he doesn't have a power runner. And he's got a running quarterback. He has really good wide receivers, but they barely get the ball. Sammy Watkins barely gets the ball.
Yeah, that line's 3.
You have that at 3? Jets getting 3?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jets getting 3, you like that as the underdog. Okay.
I do.
Any other best bets of the week you got?
Well, I'm definitely liking the Seahawks over the Rams. I don't think the Rams can fix the problems they have right now.
Rams, no, I don't think so. Now, we saw that Blaine Gabbert, or Gabbert, who, you know, barely won the job to begin with, and Carlos Hyde were the big damage doers, and so now you've got a better offense with a hobbled Russell Wilson. So if Blaine Gabbert can do it at full strength, Russell Wilson can do it with an injured ankle, and he's got, you know, Christine Michael behind him and a really good offensive
line. I don't think they can solve the offensive problems they have, the Rams.
No, they can't. So the question is, because this has also come up, either Fisher didn't want to, either he doesn't believe in Goff at all, or he doesn't want to subject Goff to this. He knows it's a bad offense and doesn't want his rookie quarterback to, you know,
he's not ready.
I guess not. Well,
no. Nobody
on that team's ready.
He looks clueless. He looks like the game's too big for him.
The only player on the Rams who's ready is the punter, because he's all ready to go.
But I like that Mannion.
He's going to get the shot. Keenum is so ineffective or gets injured.
He's young and he's going to make a whole ton of mistakes. You know? So yeah, they're not good at picking on these picks. Obviously. I mean, they're not improving their team, and they're getting all kinds of draft picks. They had a chance to have Wednesday. They might have screwed that up.
Yeah.
They made some bad choices. I mean, them and the Browns are the way they are for, you know, front office reasons.
I think you're right about that. So what's that line for the Seahawks at Rams?
Rams are home getting 4.
Rams at home, and you like the Rams getting 4? Or
Seattle? No, I don't. I'm not going near that team.
So you like Jets getting 3, the Seahawks giving 4. Any others 4 that you like?
And I'm liking the Vikings.
Vikings opening up U.S. Bank Stadium in St. Paul, Minnesota. Or is it Minneapolis?
That line opened with Packers getting 1.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Vikings are getting 2.5 at home, opening up that stadium.
So the that could be good. Yeah, I kind of like that. I can see the Vikings really, because it seems like Bradford's going to play this week. They were able to pull one out in Tennessee thanks to a defensive touchdown. So the defense is there. The Packers offense, you know, slow going against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they might be improving, and Jordy Nelson's back, of course. So, yeah.
Yeah, but they're still only averaging like 5.7 yards or whatever a pass play.
Right.
So, you know, that doesn't that's what they had last year.
And you found an interesting article about how teams that finished, what was it, first or last in their conference in passing yards the following season?
Per play.
Oh, per play. So yards
per play. Teams that finish the year with the lowest yards per pass play numbers in their conference usually struggle the following season. So they're saying that, in fact, 90 teams who trailed in the conference since 1970 merger averaged just 0.375 win percentage the next season.
Wow.
And none made it to the Super Bowl. Which brings me to looking at these NFL futures. And I was reading a thing recently that there was in the last 214 games. Anyway, if you went 0-2 to start the season.
Yeah.
24 teams made the playoffs out of 214 that happened to.
Yeah, geez.
So that's horrible. And none won the Super Bowl.
No,
I don't believe. But after this week, we can start scratching some teams off on that list.
Well, I think even after week one, you could start doing that.
Think losing week one doesn't bode well. I know a few teams have done it. Maybe
sure.
Three of them in the Super Bowl lost the first game of the season, something like that.
Yeah, they're rare. They're very rare, and usually they're ones that you can count on one hand. So. All right, so you like
it. But anyway, so based on that, you can look for a decline. But, of course, everyone says you had Aaron Rodgers, so it doesn't matter. So public might not pick up to that.
Probably not. So
if it even happens, because every year is different.
All right, so you like Jets, Seahawks, and Vikings. Okay, nice. That's good. Talk a little baseball for a second. The Mets have regained the wild card lead. They're coming up to right now a difficult part, but about to start the right now they're facing the Nationals, and this is the last time tomorrow, this being recorded on Tuesday. Wednesday's their last game against a team over 500. Even if they're having trouble against the Nationals, the Cardinals are playing against the Cubs, who are winning every single game. So even if they lose a game against the Nationals, they're pretty much okay in their standings. So.
Well, can they ride Cespedes? And, you know, he's been a little bit slack recently.
Yes.
But if he gets hot, if they're going as far as he goes, I think.
That's true. And then the American League East is getting tighter. The Orioles, who sat in third place, are doing very well against the Red Sox. The
That's the best division?
Yes.
As far as competitive?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because even the Yankees are still in it. I mean, the Rays are too far back to really contend, but they're...
Yeah, kudos to the Yankees, you know?
Hey, yeah, it's
cutting
true.
Some dead wood and getting on with the youth movement and actually finding some success.
And,
so, hey, good for New York.
And Gary Sanchez and all of his historic home run barrage that he's currently on, so...
Sure, that piques interest.
Yeah, absolutely. On the fantasy front, I had three games this week, won all three. My big get was Spencer Ware, and he paid off in spades. Cam Newton.
What made you pick him?
Well, Jamaal Charles being out, and I mean, you know, Jamaal Charles is a great, when he's healthy, a great running back. And so everybody talks about, well, they're not going to, Andy Reid's not going to all of a sudden change his game plan. Spencer Ware is a good running back. I mean, Chandrick West, their third string, he's the kickoff guy. He does well too, and Spencer Ware. They love to run him. They really do. Drew Brees helped out in one of my leagues, and was a little disappointed in Jordan Reed. That hurt me a little bit, but so I was very very happy to see all that. And Melvin.
And who was your kicker?
Dan Bailey in one league. I had. Santos, the kicker in Kansas City, and another one. And
who's the best kicker out there?
Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey is the most accurate kicker in NFL history. Plus, he had two 50-plus yard field goals, and that the farther the field goal, the more points you get in fantasy football.
Oh, okay.
So Dan Bailey helped me out very much. So 3-0 this week. I'm trying to pick up Will Fuller, who's the second wide receiver behind DeAndre Hopkins, but I mean he had more receptions than Hopkins did last week. So everybody's high on him. I want to get him, and then I'm trying to either get Christine Michael or TJ Yeldon, because Chris Ivory's out. He went to the hospital. He was a scratch on Sunday. He went to the hospital for undisclosed reasons, and he was just released today, Tuesday. So
they almost won.
And the problem was people were thinking like Ivory and Yeldon, it's going to be a timeshare, which in fantasy football, that's a death knell. I mean, because there's no one guy to carry. So you have to split who gets the touchdowns, who gets first down.
Right.
Who gets it. So you have to try and pick. And well, if Ivory's out, then that job's Yeldon's. So, you know, maybe get him. So I'm trying to. I don't have a lot of time. I got to figure out if I want Christine Michael or if I want TJ Yeldon. But Will Fuller, I'm definitely going to get. All right, Dad. Well, thanks very much.
Good.
What?
Okay, enjoy.
All right, thanks. And Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.